Thank you very much, Matthew. A very thorough, comprehensive presentation with beautiful slides. Very quick question. Is there ever a reason to combine an ACE inhibitor with an ARB?
Gee, Dr. Mesley, I am so shocked that you would ask me that question. I purposely did not include that. I think, honestly now, the totality of evidence would argue that there is little to gain, except perhaps in the heart failure patient, perhaps, and some risk. And again, we're trying to provide stable, safe, long-term therapy for our patients. And so if you're increasing risk with minimal return on the benefit, then I think we need to really carefully evaluate that. Again, all of the recent studies have not shown any benefit. Again, save people with congestive heart failure, which is a slightly different conversation. But I think the data for hypertension and chronic kidney disease and coronary artery disease would not suggest any improved opportunity by using both.
Thank you. Mark Houston?
Quick corollary to Franz's question. Can you comment on the reductions in proteinuria with the combination of ACE and ARB, some of the older literature?
It is a little bit better with using both than either one alone. But what a lot of people tend to forget about is that a thiazide diuretic can do the same thing and a reduction in dietary salt consumption. In fact, they are mutually separate, meaning thiazides can help, and then further reduction in dietary sodium in, consumption can further reduce the antiproteinuric effect of a thiazide and a RAS inhibitor. And in fact, that effect is even more powerful than using an ACE and an ARB together. Now, what may prove to be interesting, and I did not discuss, is whether a low dose of a mineralocorticoid receptor antagonist with a RAS blocker, that may also be helpful, but again, we're treading on the water of potassium. And until that's been shown to be a proven and sustained benefit, which can be safely done, again, I would urge caution.
Angela?
Can you comment a little bit more on the angioedema, particularly using an angiotensin receptor blocker after a patient has had ACE-induced angioedema? Because I think I'm seeing a little bit more of that switch where people are going back and substituting an ARB, and I think before that wasn't necessarily the case.
Well, you know, it's a great question, Angela, and in fact, years ago, I remember I was part of a group of people who tried to put together a study to examine that in a prospective fashion, meaning actually take people who have had ACE inhibitor-induced angioedema and randomize them to either go on to an ARB or something else and answer the question. We just couldn't recruit enough people. I actually feel comfortable if I feel somebody needs a RAS blocker to take them off that ACE inhibitor and give them an ARB. In fact, that even happened within my family. My father had angioedema with an ACE inhibitor, and he was put on an ARB. So for that anecdotal thing, and plus probably another 5 or 10 patients I've had over the years, I've not had a problem.
Clarence?
I am not aware of any data that shows that the reduction or the disappearance of proteinuria actually does anything to the long-term consequences of chronic kidney disease. And it looks like it's a pretty poor marker for renal endpoints. I'm just wondering if you knew something I didn't, or...
No, there's never been a prospective randomized controlled trial to test the hypothesis that the purposeful reduction of proteinuria translates into improved clinical outcomes. What we do have are pre-specified secondary analyses and non-pre-specified secondary analyses indicating that in people with proteinuric nephropathy that it does appear to predict a slower course of disease progression. But again, when one looks at this, you have to remember there could be confounding by indication. There could be a whole host of unassessed confounders. More to the point, we also know that people with diabetes can develop end-stage renal disease in the absence of having any proteinuria at all. So for that being said, I think, let's just say, the reason I try to reduce proteinuria is that the patients are clinically and symptomatically feeling better. in the sense that there is less edema, and obviously there may be a lesser need to lower serum cholesterol.
I think it maybe makes the doctor feel better, more so than the patient.
That's a potential possibility.
Last question, Charles Flack.
Okay. Nice talk, Matt. One of the things in treating a large population with angioedema that I sort of try to remind myself of, and I'm curious as what you think, is sometimes we get fooled by randomness. And there are reasons for angioedema other than ACEs and ARBs in hypertensive patients. And sometimes we get a patient with ACE inhibitor, and all the angioedema is probably not from the ACE inhibitor, but a lot of it probably is. Sometimes even if you switch them to an ARB and they get angioedema, it doesn't necessarily mean the ARB is the cause of it. I have switched a lot of patients over to ARBs and have yet, to my knowledge, I don't remember anybody developing angioedema, but I wouldn't be surprised if somebody did, and it may not have anything to do with either of the two drugs. They just happen to be on an ACE and an ARB.
Well, as you know, John, it's interesting if you look at the epidemiology of the ACE inhibitor, it is, and the angioedema, is that it is more common in people of African heritage. It's also more common in smokers. So, you know, certainly there are factors that may be involved, and if you have a patient with hypertension of African heritage who smokes, you may, although it's rare, have an even greater risk for this particular problem. So I think we just need to be sensitive to it.
Thank you so much, Matthew. This concludes the formal part of this presentation.